Bring the Sefer HaMidot, and we're up to page Ayin in Sefer HaMidot, and the Magen Midubno had been discussing that the Torah is something which we have every reason to accept. The Magen Midubno had said that there are three reasons why it makes sense to accept the truth of the Torah, and he's in the middle of his third reason, and he says, "Vidan, I want you to know, that from the day we left Egypt to the point where our city was destroyed, and we were exiled from our place and our temple became desolate, the testimony of God, the Torah was something which was trusted also by people who weren't intelligent. Even the people who lacked intelligence, they too knew that the Torah was true. People who lacked the capacity to analyze, to delve into things, people who lacked faith, even they recognized that the Torah was true. Because our faith was revealed to all as being true, kashemish bigvurato higluya, just as the sun, when it reaches its apex, is revealed to all, it's above everyone's head, so too the Torah was standing like the sun before everyone, and it was clear that it was true. And everyone would walk and bask in its light and sense its existence. And no one entertained the thought to deny its existence or to doubt it. And if you think deeply, a lot of midrashim fall into place once you hear this point. We hear all kinds of midrashim about how the Ammonites and the Moabites, when they attacked, they were very upset that the Torah says, do not marry into us. And they said, we'll only make peace with you if you give us your Torah, if you let us burn it. We hear about all kinds of things that happened throughout the period of the first temple where people knew what it said in the Torah and it was a part of their life. Even Haman has a discussion with Ahasuerus about what it says in the Torah and the future of the Jewish people. Ahasuerus is busy figuring out what did the prophets say, when is the Messiah going to come, when are they going to go out of the exile, out of Persia and Mede. Ahasuerus, Belshazzar, one after another, everyone's trying to figure out, well, what did the prophets mean? Because everyone knew that what the prophet said was true, what the Torah said was true. That wasn't the question in their minds. You see that's what they were taking into account. Can I you? Yes.
Can somebody believe that it's true? And you have the northern kingdom, centuries in idolatry. You have people under Manasseh and
right. So the Malbim says that throughout these periods, people did not worship the pagan gods to the exclusion of Hashem. They did shituf. They believed in Hashem. And they also believed in the pagan gods. They said, yeah, but Hashem's very distant. He gave us the Torah once. But right now, there are these forces in nature where we could tap into them. And the way we tap into them is through worshiping them. Hashem is out there, right. But yeah, I daven to him and I don't necessarily have a good year with my crops. If I could tap into the force of rain or the force of sun or the force of fertility, that's the way to go.
But, I mean, if you believe the Torah is true, the Torah also says not to do that.
Right, but the Torah also says that God allotted it for the nations. The Torah says it will attract you, and this is these are forces that the nations worship. They're not there for you. So a person could tell himself, okay, so they're not there for me, but let me try. It is tempting.
But you aren't fully believing that the promises in the Torah are true then, because the Torah also says that Hashem will take care of you. If you follow after Him, you won't do anything in your field for the seventh year, and Hashem will give you abundance. And he'll,
but it's very hard.
It's very hard, but I'm saying, I'm not coming down on them necessarily. Like, I'm just saying, I just don't understand. You can say that they trusted in it, they believed it was true. When if somebody says they'll do something for you, and you say I believe you, and then you go and you hedge your bets by, like, if somebody says they're going to lend you some money, you say, oh, thank you, I believe you, and then you go and you borrow money from somewhere else, you aren't trusting them. You're thinking maybe it's not going to happen.
Right. It's very hard. It's very hard. So that, and we also don't know the desire that they had for Avodah Zarah. We don't have that desire. Meaning, the only thing that we have comparable is the desire for promiscuity. As I'll say, that those were two great desires, and they diminished one, and they completely abolished the other. So we don't have this desire to do idol worship. So to us, we can discuss it all logically, and we don't understand it. But it's like you tell a guy, is it proper for you to look at improper images? No, he could tell you 100% it's not. Do we have a question why he does it tomorrow morning? We all know that the desire overtakes him. So they had a great desire to do idol worship. We don't understand that desire.
Even though they knew it was wrong.
Right. Just like we know certain things are wrong and we do them anyways. You catch a guy for a serious conversation, he'll tell you all the great philosophies in the world. That's one of the challenges in Shiduchim. When you're dating, so very often you get to express what you believe. But that's not necessarily an expression of how you lead your life. It's a question of what you theoretically believe. And sometimes that could be misleading. You really believe it. That doesn't mean that's how you really lead your life. That's why it's important to discuss practical, to discuss how life really works. To discuss stories of how your day has been, how her day has been, because if you leave it to the theory, yeah, in theory we believe a lot of things. The Jewish people in that period were luminaries for the world from one end to the other. Because the concept of their leaving Egypt, that idea was so ingrained in their hearts. God made a path in the sea. Hashem took great waters and Hashem split them on their behalf. They received the Torah at Sinai, as the verse says. The whole planet trembled as we received the Torah. These were things that were fresh in people's minds. They knew they had received the Torah, which was a godly work written by God. They'd hear from their forefathers about how the Mem and the Samach, which are really an engraving, it's a complete engraving. Well, how does the center stay put? It was a miracle that the center of the Mem and the Samach would stay afloat. They also knew that their entrance to the land of Israel was miraculous. Their conquering of the land of Israel was miraculous. The fact that these nations fell before us was unnatural. It was the redemption of God. It wasn't our might. Jericho, the walls fall down under. You could go and visit Jericho throughout the period of the first temple and see those walls sunk into the earth. So the walls, the Talmud says, were as wide as they were thick. So how do you destroy such walls? If you knock them over, you still have a wall in your way. So Hashem made the walls sink into the ground. You could go for hundreds of years, you could go and see those walls that miraculously sunk into the ground. So throughout the period of the first temple, there were things that everyone knew. And so the Jewish people were confident. They knew that the Torah was true, and the world saw the Jewish people and also recognized that this was true. And the temple that King Solomon built, that was really an exceptional thing. Throughout the world, people heard about its beauty, about its glory, about the fine ways in which things were run in the temple, how the service was done so beautifully. No one in the world contradicted this. No one thought they could doubt this, just as people don't think they could doubt that so-and-so is their father, their mother, or their brother. Does a person think, well, let me prove that I'm their son? The person takes it for granted. These are known facts. And that's the way it was with regard to the Torah back then. And we'll pick up here, Bezachim, next time.